here. But we bless you for your mercies, for your strength, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your help, that has come to us today. We give you praise and thank you for your word. Glorify and exalt yourself in your word. May we see you in your word today and bring hope and bring joy and bring deliverance to us, even through your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's hear the word of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start with our confession before we hear the word. Let's start with our confession. Shall we stand and confess, please? Shall we stand? We believe we what? We receive. We believe we receive. Hallelujah. Let's go. Lord, we thank you that you are bringing people into our lives. We will not be afraid. We pray you bring from the west. Give south. Do not keep them back. Oh Lord, bring our sons from afar and our daughters from the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus, we believe that they are coming. Amen. From everywhere. From everywhere. From Uruguay, they are coming. From Puerto Rico, they are coming. Hallelujah. From Mexico, they are coming. Hallelujah. They're trying to close the border on them, but they are coming. Amen. Our sons will break through. The ones that have to be here, they will break through the border. Nobody can stop them. Amen. They will get visas from Africa. They will get visas from Europe. Because prayer will cause them to be here. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop them. Amen. Even if they are in the remotest part of the world, our confession will bring them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We have to hear the word of God, so we will hear the word of God now. We will hear the word of God. We've been looking at the fear of the Lord. What's our key scripture? There you go. Some of you don't know. Huh? Some of you have forgotten. Hey, you forgotten already? Okay, what is it? Psalm 34. Now, what does it say? Hallelujah. There is no one for. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For there is no want for those who fear the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was just looking at some scriptures. We'll look at it before we do the preaching today. But God would do some things for us to fear him. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. So that if God does something in your life and you don't fear him, you're a bad person. Yeah, it's true. It's true. You are ungrateful. You're ungrateful. If God does something in our lives and we don't reverence him, we are ungrateful people. Because God does those things so that we will reverence him. We will fear him. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, please. Okay, let me read it. Okay. Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. That's not what I'm seeing. Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. It says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord has done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and his servant Moses. When God used Moses to destroy Egypt and all the gods in Egypt, the 10 plagues, and leave the scripture on the screen, and the things that they saw. Something is happening to our thing, but God will help us. Thus, it says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So it caused something in the lives of the people. So the people feared. It means, so is therefore the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So when God does something in our lives, it could be the minutest thing. It could be the minutest thing, or it could be the biggest thing. The purpose there is so that we will reverence him. Amen. Because the devil will not do any good thing for you. Understand that. The devil will not do any good thing for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14. It says that, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Hallelujah. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. Now listen, it says, God does it for a certain reason, that men should fear before him. Are you with me this morning? Okay. It says, God does it so that men will fear him. Praise God. And I've told you, God is not a tiger. God is not a demon. God is a loving father who seeks the welfare of his children. And so when God does things for us, his aim and his purpose is that we will do what? We will reverence him. And the more we reverence him, the more he does for us. Because he says, there is no want for those who what? Who fear him. It means that you won't lack. The more I reverence God with the little things. So if God gives me money to buy food, I am grateful. I say, God, thank you. I appreciate it. I honor you for that. The next time I'm buying a car. That's how the thing works. He said, because there is no want for those who fear him, who fear the Lord, all ye saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just wanted you to know this. That whatever God does in your life, don't take it for granted. Listen, even in the morning, okay, last night, every hour, my eyes opened. I was telling Pastor Julia this morning. How do I know? Because I will look at the clock. Every hour, my eyes open. I said, hey, those who can't sleep is a very serious thing. I'm not kidding. And so when you sleep 8 hours, you have to fear God. It's a gift, though. Hey. So when you sleep and you wake up, reverence God. Don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. Today I wanted to talk about people who feared God, but we'll do that next week. So last week what we looked at was the benefits of fearing God. That's what we looked at last week. So let's look at an example of somebody or people who feared God. Okay. So what we are doing is that we are looking at biblical examples to substantiate what we learned last week. Right? And on Thursday, we learned that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of what? Wisdom. We learned about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? All right. So today, we're going to look at it. And we'll look at a popular story. But in that story, I'll bring other stories. Okay? We'll look at the story of Joseph today. Okay? A person who feared God. Joseph was a person who feared God. We'll look at a story. I know you all know the story, but it's okay. Let's remind ourselves of that story, okay? I believe God will bless us today. Amen. But Joseph's story actually starts from, can you put that map on the screen for me? It starts from somewhere. It starts from somewhere. It starts from his father, Jacob. Joseph's story actually starts from his father, Jacob. Genesis. Okay. So if you can look at, let me turn to it. Genesis. But leave, look on the screen over there, please, where the map is. I want you to look at, can you see carefully? I mean, can you see clearly? You can see clearly? Okay, good. When we're young, there used to be a song, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Who remembers that song? You guys, you're that old? I heard that song when I was, you were not born. Huh? Oh, it's an eye drop commercial. Oh, I see. When I was young, we used to hear that song on radio. Jimmy Cliff, right? Uh-huh. Brother Dan knows. He's old enough. Oh, God help us. Okay. So I want you to look at three cities here, or three towns here. Okay. Can you see where Hebron is? You can? You can see where Hebron is? Okay, good. Can you see where Bethel is? You can see where Bethel is? There's no Bethel on the map. You can see it? Okay. So you see where Hebron is? You see where Bethel is? Okay. Can you see where Shechem is? You can see Shechem? Okay. Now, can you see where Dothan is? Okay, good. That's all I want you to know on the map. So Hebron is all the way in the south. Then Bethel is up north a little bit. And then Shechem is in the northern part of Bethel, right? Are you with me? You can't see clearly. No. You people can't see clearly. Okay. So you have the, okay, good. Okay. Then Dothan. Okay, good. Good. So let's turn to, wonderful. I like this one better. No, this is, huh. So you see where Hebron is? Then Bethel and Shechem and then Dothan. Wonderful. Then if you look at that, those broken lines, that was the journey of the Ishmaelites when they sold Joseph from the north. They came all the way down to Gaza to Egypt. Okay. I'm just trying to give you a graphic, illustration of the story. But this story starts from, it actually starts from Shechem. Okay? It starts from Shechem. And I'll tell you why. Let's read a scripture. Let me go to my notes so that I'm not all over the place. So Genesis chapter 34. Let's go to 34. Genesis chapter 34. So you have a graphic. Okay. 34. Actually, 33. Let's look at Genesis 33, verse 18. We're looking at two scriptures there. Genesis 33, 18 to 20. Okay. This story stems from when Jacob finished serving Laban and he came with all his children and all his wives. Okay. And then he met his brother Esau. He was afraid. But he met him and they reconciled. Okay. Now, after Esau left, he ended up at a place called Shechem. So, in verse 28, this was after Esau and Jacob reconciled. And then Esau left and Jacob also had now come back to Canaan, the land of Canaan. Because remember, he ran away from there and he came back. After he came back, the Bible said, then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram, that was where he ran to Laban. And he pitched his tent before the city. Verse 19, he bought the parcel of land where he pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father. So the place was named after a guy's son. This guy who owned the place was Hamor. He was the leader of the place. His son was called Shechem. Okay. And Jacob bought the land from him. Okay. And he bought the parcel of land where he pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money, of silver. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel, the God of Israel, or the God of Jacob. That's why we sing, you are El Elohi Israel, the God of Jacob. Okay, so he came to, that was after he came back into Canaan, after running away from there, he came to the place called Shechem. Okay, now, if you look at Shechem, something happened. We're not going to read the story, but write Genesis chapter 34 down, and when you go home, please read the story, but I'll tell you the story. So Jacob had a daughter, and this guy that he bought the land from, okay, Hamor, his son Shechem, he lusted after Jacob's daughter called Diana, okay. He ended up raping Diana, okay. And Diana's brother were not happy about it. Who would be happy when you rape my sister? They were not happy about it. So, but Shechem wanted to marry Diana at all costs and make peace with Israel. But Diana's brothers were not happy about it. So they plotted. What they did was, these people came and said, we want to make peace with you. We want to marry your daughter. Although we've raped her, we want to marry her. Okay. So the brother said, okay, that's fine. But then, this is what the brother said. They said that if you want to be at peace with us and be one with us, then what you have to be, you have to become like us. So you have to circumcise all the male in the area. So you become one. Because we are all circumcised by our covenant with God. So the people too stupidly said, we will do that. On the third day, when they were in so much pain from this. So think about a 40-year-old being circumcised. That's trouble right there. Okay. Bible says, on the third day, Levi and Simeon, that's Diana's brothers, went out there and killed them because they couldn't fight. See, he killed all the men of the town in Shechem. Are you with me? Okay. I'm saying this for a reason. You will understand Jacob's story better if you understand this little part of history. Okay. So now, after that incident happened, Jacob was not happy with his sons because that was not the agreement. They didn't tell their father they were going to kill these people. They looted them, plundered everything, their silver, their gold, and everything. They took it. Jacob was afraid that, oh, you guys have caused trouble for me. They will kill me. Interestingly enough, if you read chapter 35, verse 1, right after that, he said, God told Jacob, leave town. Leave. He says, then God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel. You saw that on the map. He said, go to Bethel. So Shechem was on the northern part of Bethel. So now the guy is traveling south to Bethel. Okay. So God told him, go to Bethel. Now Bethel was the place where when he was traveling, he met God, where the angels were ascending and descending. That was that place. God says, go out there and build an altar there. So he did that. He did that. Okay. So you see where Shechem is? Now God told him, move from Shechem and go to Bethel. It's on the screen. Move from Shechem and go to Bethel. So instead of going up, he's going down. He's going down south. Okay. Later on, we realize that the guy had even moved from Bethel to Hebron. You see where Hebron is? So the guy came and settled in Shechem, bought the land, built an altar. Then trouble came to Shechem, so he ran away. And God said, go to Bethel. Even from Bethel, where God says, settle the house of God. Bethel means house of God. Okay. He left the place and went to Hebron. Okay. So let's start the story of Joseph, because I'm not talking about Jacob today. I'm talking about Joseph. All right. I'm talking about somebody who feared God. Hallelujah. So let's go to Joseph's story, which we all know already. So I'm not going to read everything. Where are we starting from? Let's start from 37 verse 1. The story of Joseph starts with the fact that a 17-year-old boy has a dream. Okay, his father liked him because he was the youngest at the time. Okay, of course, Benjamin was there, but his father loved him, made him a coat of many colors. But he would tell on his brothers because his brothers were bad people. And you can tell. You see how Simeon and Levi went and killed those people. So his father didn't trust those guys. Okay. So Joseph, being 17, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. When you fear God, you won't hate anybody. Are you with me? When you fear God, you will not hate anybody. Okay. So, in verse 5, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they even hated him all the more. They hated him all the more. Okay. Now, we know the dream. The interpretation of the dream was the fact that his father and mother and all his brothers will come one day and bow before him. Okay. But the dream was way more than that interpretation that we've given to it. Okay. Joseph's dreams, this is what I wrote in my Bible, Joseph's dreams were far more significant than its interpretation. The bigger picture was a covenant that God had made with Abraham many years ago. Because in that covenant, God told Abraham that your descendants will find themselves in a strange land, and for 400 years, 430 years, they'll be held captive. So this 17-year-old was fulfilling something that he had no clue what it was. Are you with me? You do not know what God is doing with your life as you sit here. Do you know what you are fulfilling? Are you with me? That's why you need to fear God. Because you don't know the covenant that you are fulfilling. Hallelujah. And so you go to a little trouble and you are crying. Huh? I say you go to a little trouble and you are crying. In God, you are sharing tears. God doesn't care about those tears, oh. God, you know what God cares about? His covenant. Remember, he watches over his word to fulfill it. Joseph, when God made that covenant, Joseph was not born. He was not born. Joseph had no clue that the dream he had, the bigger implication was that he would end up in Egypt one day. All the people knew, one day we're going to bow before you. No, that was not the issue. Bow for what? And it will make God happy. No, we're not supposed to bow to any human being. So they got the interpretation wrong. Are you with me? Yeah, they should have gone way beyond. They were not spiritual enough. Hallelujah. Because God was looking at something way bigger than these people bowing before this young boy. God was fulfilling something that he had, a word that he, God, had released. Amen. May you stay in God's plan for your life. Because God is doing something, and you are part of that thing that God is doing. Don't look at yourself as insignificant. Let them hate you. I said, let them hate you. It doesn't matter. There's a man of God that said, it doesn't matter who hates you, but it's important who loves you and who cares about you. Those who hate you, there are many. You think everybody likes you? Okay. Even if you smile, they will hate you. They will say you didn't smile well. So the guy has a dream, okay? And then even his father was disturbed. Now let me point something out. When he had the dream, the Bible says his brothers hated him all the more. Okay? But let me tell you what a godly man did. A godly man, the Bible says, his brothers envied him. But if you look at verse 11, after he had that dream, the second dream, look at verse 11. Genesis 34, verse 11. The Bible says, and his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Other verses say, he pondered over the thing. He says, I don't understand this thing, but God is doing something. So his father was not upset. Are you with me? A man that fears God, when situations like that happen, you keep quiet and you watch. Say, God, what are you doing? Because sometimes God will do strange things. Because how can Jacob bow to Joseph? Think about it. You know who Jacob is? He met God. He wrestled with God. And now Joseph is telling me, I will bow before him. If it was a certain preacher I know, he would have cursed him. I'm telling you. But the Bible says, the man that feared God pondered the thing. As for his brothers, they didn't fear God. So, but the God-fearing man pondered over the thing because it baffled him. Amen. What am I saying? Don't condemn what you don't understand. Are you with me? Just leave God. Leave the interpretation to God. Leave the results to God. Time will unveil what God is trying to do in that person's life. Sometimes the people around us and the things that happen around are very strange and we don't understand. It seems as if God is not even in the thing. But I'm telling you, God is in the thing. Except that we human beings have no level of comprehension to know what God is doing at every point in time. Unless God, Bible said the secret things belongs to God. He has only revealed the things that he wants us to know to us. Amen. Let me tell you, there's a certain level of wisdom. I didn't tell you that last time on Thursday. But there's a certain level of wisdom that God preserved for himself. Nobody else has that wisdom. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit lives in you. But you are not omnipotent. You are not omnipresent. You are not all-knowing. Are you with me? God reserved that thing purposely. So there are some things that you will not understand what God, and this is one of it. Jacob did not understand what God was doing. He didn't understand. But instead of condemning, and instead of pointing finger, and instead of being upset, the Bible says he pondered the thing in his heart. He said, God, we will see what happens of this, if this thing is of you. Amen. And so the Bible says in verse 12, then his brothers went, verse 12, that's where my story begins. His brothers went to feed their father's flock in where? Shechem. We know what happened at Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. And then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flock. And bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of where? Hebron. So now that's what we say. He's left Bethel. He's in Hebron. From Shechem, he goes to Bethel. Now he's in Hebron in the south. It is from Hebron that he is sending Joseph to Shechem. Because the reason is that these people hate Joseph. Why are you sending him to them? And they are older than Joseph, right? But the man was thinking about his sons, about the welfare of his children, not only Joseph. Amen. That's why when you are a parent, you have to think about all your children, not just one of them. They could be bad, but you still have to pray for them and think about their welfare. So guess what? These people lived in Hebron, but they had traveled all the way up. They had traveled, oh my God, they had traveled 50 miles from Hebron all the way to Shechem, because Shechem had the best grazing lands that Hebron did not have. But the man is scared that something will happen to his children. Why? Because there's a history in Shechem. Are you with me? So now he has to send Joseph to go make sure that they're okay. Because there were no cell phones at the time. There was no T-Mobile. Are you getting the story here? That's why he sent. Other than that, there was, but all this sending was still part of God's plan. I hope you are getting this thing. Everything was coming together. Listen, God is in control of everything. I'm telling you. The little details, my God, he's in control of it. So even for Jacob to send Joseph, God was involved in that thing. The man is worried about his children in Shechem, because he said, Simeon and Levi are there. Once they see them, they will kill them, because they remember what they did to the Shechemites. And so please, just go and check up on them. If they're okay, I'm fine. My heart will be at rest. But God had a bigger plan. And so now, Alex, which town is closer? Will be 50 miles from here. Dover? Is Dover 50 miles from here? About 45 miles. Okay. So the man had to walk from here to Dover. You see, when you read the Bible, so you can't picture the thing, you just read it. It says the man went to Shechem. Did he fly to Shechem? He walked. Okay? He walked. When he got to Shechem, they were not there. And the Bible says he was just wandering, and a man saw him. Also, the Bible says, and somebody saw him wandering around. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm looking for my brothers. He says, oh, I heard them say that they were going to Dothan. Now, Dothan is another 13 miles. If I were Joseph, my God, I would just turn around, good. I'd just turn around and say, Father, I didn't see them. But a godly man, the man that feared God, and it was in God's will and God's plan for his life, he went another 30 miles. Others are saying it's 15 miles, but I saw 13 miles. From Shechem to Dothan. So in all, the guy walked 63 miles. My God. Okay. 63 miles to trouble. This is what I said. I said, sometimes when you go the extra mile, it will still end you up in trouble. But it's okay. See, those who don't work, they don't get in trouble. The devil doesn't attack them. Those who do nothing, the devil doesn't attack them. Because they are insignificant. Are you with me? It's only those that are significant. Those that are working and doing something for the kingdom. Those are the people that get in trouble. But guess what? Those people too get blessed. Because the man went the extra mile, extra 13 miles, to Dothan, where his brothers were. And guess what? He found them. The sad thing is that the moment they saw him, he said, ah, that dreamer is here. My God. Extra mile into trouble. You know, he took time and came to the prayer meeting, and Bishop said, you didn't show your face, so you're upset. He said, Bishop should be happy that I'm here. Me, I'm not happy that you're there. I don't care. Are you there for me? Huh? Me, I'm trying to serve God. You too serve God. We are all trying to serve God. Are you with me? Hey, me too, I'll go the extra mile. No. Sometimes we do certain things and it lands us in trouble.
It's okay. Have you realized that in Bible study, those who answer questions, they are the ones that ask more questions. Lorraine. Anytime Lorraine answers a question, I ask her 3 more questions. It's okay. You get blessed. Amen. Those that don't talk, I don't mind them. Maybe you all will start talking so that the Holy Spirit will notice you and bless you. So he went the extra mile and got in trouble. He says, then they said to one another, look, the dreamer is coming. Oh boy. Let's read on. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. How can you kill a dream? No, you tell me. How can you kill a dream? You're going to use physical means to destroy a spiritual thing. You must be kidding me. I said you cannot use physical means to destroy spiritual things. It's impossible. It's impossible. And they were trying to use physical means to destroy what God has set in motion. You are a sign and wonder. Let me tell you, as you sit here, you are a sign and wonder to the devil. The devil does not understand who you are. Why is this girl always going on the prayer line and praying? What has she seen? That she's always praying and fasting and doing all this thing. So the devil doesn't understand. But it's because God, there's something that God has put in you that is propelling you to wake up to pray at midnight. There's something. And the devil cannot kill that thing. And so your father will tell you, oh, it's okay. Stop the fasting. You know, sometimes I even tell my son, it's okay. I'm afraid he will die. But he won't die. The guy won't die. Are you with me? You can't die serving God. How can you die fulfilling God's purpose? There was no way they could have killed Joseph. Impossible. Because God had made a promise many years ago. He made a covenant. I'm glad we studied covenant before this, and so you guys understand what I'm talking about. God didn't have to shed blood. He shed blood because of us, because of our unbelief. Because when God makes it, when he releases his word, that's it. It's final. But God literally shed blood to make us know that this thing is sure. And so Reuben said, no, you can't kill him. Reuben was the eldest. He said, you can't kill him. Let's put him in a pit so that, his intention was to release him. But I think Reuben went to eat somewhere. Something happened. Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay hands on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. It came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brother, they stripped him of his tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Praise God. God will preserve you. And they sat down. Hey, you see what happened? They sat down to do what? That's wickedness. That's wickedness. They sat down to fellowship. They cast the man in the pit and they sat down to fellowship. The Bible says, if the demons knew, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Because day one, they were rejoicing. Day two, they were rejoicing. Because they thought, they didn't know about the resurrection. And so they were trying to use physical means. So you know what they did? They went and bought a big stone and sealed Jesus' tomb. I said, you cannot use physical means against spiritual things. It's impossible. He said, a big stone. Okay, day one, the man didn't come out. Day two. And then, not in the big stone, they put soldiers too. But by day three, the man was out. And the soldiers were falling. Because God is too powerful. Are you with me? And so the devil sat down to eat, just like these people. they ate a meal. They thought it was over for that guy. And then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. So we saw that path, right? And then they came with spices and all that stuff. They were going to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, Judah, go to verse 26. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Years ago, I got a revelation about this thing. And this is what I wrote in my Bible. Hallelujah. I said, you know, Judah means praise. This is what I wrote in my Bible. Praise will propel you towards your destiny. It might not be comfortable in the beginning, but it will get you there. Let me read it again. Praise will propel you towards your destiny. It might not be comfortable in the beginning, but it will get you there. Hallelujah. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. In this church, I've determined that our worship here Sunday morning is 1 hour, no less than 1 hour. Are you with me? I know what worship and praise and thanksgiving can do. Are you with me? We preach the word for 1 hour. We praise for 1 hour. We are done. Everything else is useless. I'm not saying useless. But those are two key things. But the most important thing is our gratitude towards God. And so when we come here and we are giving thanks to God in praise and worship, oh, when we are laying down and when we are lifting and we are shouting, you don't know what we are doing. You don't know. This morning I was telling my wife, she needs to teach us about this thanksgiving and praise and worship thing. We need to understand it. When the lepers, 10 lepers, when they got healed, none of them went away. The guy, the Samaritan, in the midst of the journey, when he realized he was healed, you know what he did? Immediately he turned around. And when he got to Jesus' feet, he just didn't say, thank you. He didn't say that. The Bible says he laid prostrate at his feet. He fell down. He didn't care whether it was muddy, whether it was grassy. He didn't care. Some of us, we are thinking about Louis Vuitton. And whatever. What is that? No, what is that? What is Louis Vuitton compared to what God has done for you? No, seriously. What is that compared to what God has done for you? Let the Louis Vuitton be dirty. We'll take the laundromat and wash it for $2. Yeah. How much is laundromat now? Huh? I'm telling you, let it be dirty. We will take it to a laundromat and wash it. So praise will propel you. So learn how to worship by yourself. Are you with me? Over here is just a thank you. But the real thing is in your home. It's when there's nobody around and you lay prostrate before God. Say, God, I bless you for my life. I don't have everything yet, but I'm grateful for where you are taking me. Thank you that everything will fall in place. Go learn about people that give thanks. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a certain message. Before Lazarus was resurrected, you know what Jesus did? He gave thanks. But you are waiting for the resurrection before you give thanks. Oh. Are you with me? You are waiting for the resurrection of Lazarus before you give thanks? No. It's actually the opposite. Jesus, Father, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll talk Thanksgiving. Pastor Julia will teach us. She will teach us one day. Where are we in the story? Let's keep going. We have to hurry up. So the Midianites went out there. They sold this guy, right? They sold him. So now, guess where he ended up? He was sold and then resold. The man was sold twice. Sold and resold. Hey, sometimes life can be difficult. Oh, because God is still in control. Are you with me? I said, sometimes life can be something. You have aspirations. You have dreams. And then God is taking you to the opposite of where you think you should be. Which God is that? Which God is that? I said, which God is that? The one that is taking me opposite of where I know that I have to be. Because the man is going down. He's been sold once. And he's been sold again to Potiphar's house. But you see, when you are fulfilling destiny, God's hand will always be with you. Look at what happened in Potiphar's house. Chapter 39. Go to chapter 39. We've jumped all over to chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph and he was what? How can you tell the man was successful? How can you tell me that? The man has been resold, sold and resold. And you are telling me he's successful. But in the eyes of God, the guy was successful. That's why you cannot see yourself the way you see yourself. Yeah, I think you should write that down. Don't see yourself the way you see yourself. See yourself the way God sees you. Oh my God. Sometimes I say this, I don't know where they come from. I need it, Master. Write it down for me, somebody. Okay? You cannot see yourself the way you see yourself. See yourself the way God sees you. Hallelujah. He was a successful man. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, look at it. The master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did to prosper in his hands. There was something about this guy. And Joseph, verse 4, Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him, he got promotion. The slave got promoted. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he put everything under his authority. So it was from time to time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for whose sake? For Joseph's sake. So sometimes you get into a certain environment. You don't own the environment. It's not yours. It is Potiphar's house. But that house is blessed so that you can have food to eat. Are you with me? If you don't take care, thank God Potiphar saw it. Yeah, Potiphar saw it. Because most people don't see. They'll say, oh, God has blessed me. They don't know that the source of the blessing from somewhere else. When you leave that environment, you see what will happen to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even Laban told Jacob the same thing. He said, I can testify that God has blessed me because of you. Yeah, some people carry a certain blessing. They might be slaves. They might be servants. But they carry a certain blessing. So don't maltreat and mistreat them. He said, this one is nothing. Watch that employee in your business. God put them there for a reason. Maybe you are being blessed because of them. So it was from time to time that he made him overseer. Okay, where are we? Verse six, right? Okay. And the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord was in all that he did in his house. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread that which he ate. It means that it was only his food that Joseph had no control. Everything. Ah, here comes trouble. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Hey, sometimes what you didn't even create will bring you trouble. That's he left. Where are we? Verse 7, right? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, yesterday I was just laughing by myself. His master's wife cast longing eyes. Longing eyes. May you not have longing eyes. Let your eyes be short. Focus. Longing eyes is everywhere. You see things you don't have to see. Because your eyes are too long. Longing eyes. I like that. Yeah. I'm telling you. Longing eyes. Yearning eyes. Lustful eyes. That's what it is. Lustful eyes. That's why they see everything. The moment they enter the room, they see all your flaws. Lustful eyes. You see, Bishop's shirt is long. Bishop's nose is tall. You have longing eyes. Hey. I said, may we not have longing eyes. Yeah. She was full of lust. Yeah. She, I don't know what happened between Potiphar and his wife. Something must have happened. Potiphar had 6-pack. No. Joseph had 6-pack and Potiphar had 1-pack. The man had 1-pack. and the woman is saying this 6. People don't have 1-pack. Rather than go and exercise. I'm telling you, I have to exercise so that my wife will not have long hands. Hey, you never know, you know. Oh, God help me. Okay, so she had long eyes, and she set her eyes to hurt Joseph. Okay, says, lie with me. But he refused. And said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. He's committed everything into my hands. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? Now look at this. Look at what he said. And sin against who? God. The man that feared God. The fear of God. It wasn't about Potiphar. It was about who? God. If it was about Potiphar, he would have slept with a woman. I said, if it was about Potiphar with his 1-pack, he would have slept with a woman. Okay? But because it was about the fear of God, so I can't sin against God. I fear him. I fear this God. I can't. Every step of the way, he's taking me through. Even this place, he gave me promotion. I can't. For what God has done in my life, I can't sin against him. Sometimes you need to look back. Yeah. Listen, maybe you come to the edge of compromise, but just look back. Say, no, because of what God has done, he's proven himself too much in my life. I can't do this thing. I can't. I can't compromise. Can't compromise. Hallelujah. So it was as she spoke to Joseph. Listen, it was not one day. Look at the scriptures. It was what? Day by day. Only God knows how many weeks and months this thing happened. That this man had to endure this temptation and torture. Pressure! That's how the devil is. Listen, sometimes you think it's only one time and you conquer the devil. No, he comes back. It's not just one time. When you think you've conquered the devil, oh, he shows up somewhere else. I'm telling you. It's not one time. Day by day, this guy had to withstand this temptation. And when the devil sees that you will not budge, then he goes the next step. You know what the next step? Devil walks in one day. The woman is wicked. She sacked all the workers that day. So that there was nobody in the house. The moment the guy walked, he grabbed him. That's the plan of the devil. That's how the enemy works. He will always go the next mile. See if you compromise. Okay, you didn't. You overcame step A. Let's see what happens in step B. May the Lord be with us. And we curse every longing eyes around us. In Jesus' name. Blind the eyes of the enemy. His works will not prevail against us. We will stand. The grace of God will help us to overcome the enemy. So she grabbed him. And the guy ran away. Left his cloak there and ran away. Probably was naked. I don't know what happened. Or maybe his outer garment. Only God knows. But he left something with the woman. The woman grabbed his garment. He ran away. And then another trouble. Now the woman had to lie against him. Okay. And then the guy ends up in jail. Okay. So how much can one man suffer to fulfill his destiny? When you think you are comfortable in a place, then God says, no, this is not your place. You are too comfortable in Potiphar's house. Some of you, that's what will happen to you. God says, you are too comfortable here. I got to move you. So God will cause trouble to come your way so you can move. That's how he works. Because you cannot get comfortable in Potiphar's house. Hallelujah. I'm preaching. This is the truth of the word of God. Because Potiphar's house is not your final destination. You are too comfortable in Potiphar's house. They've given you promotion. You are happy. At least you know you are not in a pit. You are free from your brothers. Nobody is pointing fingers at you. But God is saying, this is not where I want you. The one that fears God. So he ends up in jail again. Oh God. And then in jail, we know the story. There were two people. Interesting that this story, I've told you the little details of this story. We don't have time to talk about all of them. But even the butler and the baker who sinned against Pharaoh, it was not by accident. It was not by accident. Hey. It's not by accident. That's why I've told you, the people you meet, you don't meet them by accident. They could be bad people, they could be wicked people, you didn't meet them by accident. You must always discern, why is this person in my life? Why have I met this person? What are they doing in my life at this point in my life? Why are they there? Why have I met them? Why are they in my environment? You have to always discern. Ask God questions. They sinned. Pharaoh put them in jail. Exactly where Joseph was. He interprets their dream. And you will think that the baker was killed. The butler was restored back to his work. Okay, in Pharaoh's court. After the dream, Joseph tells him, when you go back, when you are restored, remember me. But the Bible says for two full years, nothing happened. My question is, this is my question to God, okay? When the butler was restored, Why didn't you let Pharaoh dream the next day that the butler was restored? But you waited for 2 years to give a dream to Pharaoh. Did you get what I just said? Because God could have caused Pharaoh to dream even the same day that the butler was released. But God waited 2 years. Bible says 2 full years. That's how the Bible describes it. 2 full years. The ways of God, they are past finding out. So now this man is still in prison for another 2 years. What was he doing there? I believe God was preparing some things and shifting and moving some things around and even preparing him for the position. So you stay in prison and keep quiet. Only Alex said amen. I said, you stay in prison, keep quiet. Because God is doing some things out there. After 2 years, Pharaoh would dream. I'm giving a prophecy. I said after 2 years, Pharaoh would dream. Pharaoh would dream after 2 years. After 2 years, Pharaoh would dream. Pharaoh has no choice. You know, nobody goes to bed and says, I want to dream. Who has done that before? No, you can't. You don't cause dreams. Yeah. It is God. So God waited 2 years. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to hurry up and get out of here. It's time. But the thing is too, there's so much information in this story. So this guy was restored, right? So Pharaoh has a dream and nobody could interpret the dream. All the people of the world, the people that he has surrounded himself with. You know, because so that God will put something in you that nobody else, okay, will have access to that thing, and you'll be the only solution to that problem. And that solution that you have, it will propel you to your next level. Because that's what happened to Joseph. Nobody could interpret that dream. Okay. And then God gave him that wisdom to interpret the dream. Okay. When he interpreted the dream, then he gave Pharaoh the solution. He said, look for a person who has a wise and understanding heart. And to do this, he gave him the solution to the problem. He said, there'll be 7 years of farming and 7 years of plenty. And Joseph gave him the exact solution. It is only God. Hallelujah. So this man saved the whole nation. Pharaoh said, you know what? There's nobody as wise as you. The fear of the Lord made the man wise. The fear of the Lord. So can you imagine if he had compromised with Potiphar's wife? Hey. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Sometimes the pressure can be tough. Hello? I said sometimes the pressure can be tough. But hang in there, child of God. I said hang in there, child of God. You know, this was not my original preaching. I was going to talk about the people, the consequence of those who don't fear God. But God said, you need to encourage my people this morning. So he gave me this word. Hang in there. Okay? I said, as tough as the situation is, hang in there. Because it will change. The man became a prime minister after interpreting a dream. After interpreting a dream. I said, after interpreting a dream, do you know how insignificant that was to Joseph? Huh? No, wait. I want you to get this thing. It was something that he was gifted with that. So basically, it was effortless. Are you with me? So something that a gift that God has given to you, that thing is so effortless to you, that is what will propel you. I hope you got this thing. You will think that I have to do something great and big to get there. No. It is that thing that God has put in you. When the time comes, that it will be effortless. I said it will be effortless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hallelujah. To be effortless. To be effortless. Yeah. He says, okay, interpretation belongs to God. Give the dream. That's it. Pharaoh, this is what's happened. Pharaoh, the dream is one. You dreamt twice, but it has one interpretation. Joseph just said it, and that was it. Joseph didn't have to go and fast 40 days to get the interpretation. No. I'm trying to paint a picture here. He didn't have to. Because it was something that God had given him, the gift of interpretation. And that's what propelled him. That's what the Bible says. A man's gift will make room for him. And he will stand before princes and kings. Hallelujah. And so don't compromise. Daniel did not compromise. I didn't have time to talk about all those guys. Maybe next week we'll talk about that. But let's close. It's enough. Enough for the day. Hallelujah. Thursday we'll continue. Maybe Thursday we'll talk about Daniel and the rest of the guys. But I hope God has given us a message today. Okay. Don't despair. Sometimes the going can be difficult. You get to a place where you think that I have to be comfortable. And then God moves you. God, why? Because that's not the final destination. That's not the place where you have to be. It's not the place. It's not the place where you have to be. It's not the place. It's not the place where you have to be. Mighty God, help us. Help us. You are our help. Ebenezer. 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 Help us to stand. In the midst of the opposition, help us to stand. In the midst of the persecution, help us to stand. In the midst of that negative environment, help us to stand. In the midst of all the troubles, help us to fear you. 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 You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Let's sing. Romans chapter, this song came from Romans chapter 11 verse 36. For of him and through him and to him, of him, through him and to him are all things. To him, to whom be glory forever. For of him, through him, wow, through him, we cannot get there without him. I said we cannot get there without him. But child of God, know that today God is in control. I said know that today God is in control of your life. The one that you committed your life into, the one that you put your life in his hands. Oh, that one that you place your life in his hands. He opened his arms and you said, here I am, I take you as my Lord and personal Savior. That one that you committed your life into, he cannot fail you. I say he cannot fail you, and he will not fail you. I give you that word that he will not fail you. I said, by the authority of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, I give you that word today that he will not fail you. That's the message that God has for us, that he will not fail us. You're too faithful. Disappoint. Oh, all the time. All the time. Man, I said, man will disappoint.
To realize you are too faithful to fail me.
For the last time, for the last time, let's sing it. Let's confess it. Let's confess it.
You're too faithful to fail me.
Child of God. Child of God. He will not fail. He will not fail you. He will not
you're
fail.
Too faithful to disappoint.
Child of God, I said he will not fail you. He will not bring you this far and drop you.
You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
You know, let me say something before we go. When they sold Joseph, the guy took his cloak of many colors, slaughtered a sheep and put blood on it, and they took it to his father. I'm speaking to somebody here. And when his father saw it, he said, my son is dead. And the Bible says he mourned. Jacob mourned. Because he thought his son was dead. To him, he was dead. There are some things in your life you think is dead. I said, I'm speaking to somebody. And you have mourned over that thing. And you know, the Holy Spirit just gave me, I said, this word is for somebody. I don't know what this word is for. You have mourned over that thing. You have made a funeral. You have put a coffin. And you buried the thing. Jacob mourned for Joseph. But God knew what he was doing with Joseph. many years down the line, that which he had mourned over became a blessing to him. He saw it. He saw it with his eyes. The thing became alive again to him. Oh, I hope you receive this thing. I said, I hope you receive this message. That which you have buried and had a funeral over that thing. My God. You're too faithful to fail me. I don't know why. We have to close.
You're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we cannot thank you enough. We cannot thank you enough, Holy Spirit. We cannot thank you enough. We cannot thank you enough. But all we are saying is, to you be the glory for what you're doing in our lives, what you've started, and where we are, and where you're taking us individually and collectively as a church. We give you praise. We thank you. We bless you. Thank you for encouraging us through your word today. Thank you for strengthening us through your word today. Thank you for the hope that you've given us through your word today. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for the healing through your word today. Thank you for the prosperity through your word today. Thank you for our destinies today. We give you praise and we give you thanks. To you be the glory, even now and forevermore.